welcome to Building Healthy Teams. This is actually something that is very near and dear to my heart. I actually was a kids pastor for a while, and if any of you are in kids ministry or have ever been in kids ministry, you know, and we even talk about this in the breakout a little bit, kids ministry needs a lot of volunteers, a lot of teams, so it was something that, you know, I worked a lot on when I was a kids pastor for 12 years, but also just, I feel like it's something that God has gifted me in, so I love talking about it, I love teaching about it, so I'm going to pray, and then we will jump in. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for everyone in this room that is committing their life to leading and to pastoring and to building healthy teams to impact your kingdom. God, we just we're so grateful for an opportunity like this to just pause, to just put aside what we're doing on a daily basis and to just grow ourselves, to just learn, and to just make sure that we are ready to go back to our churches and make an impact for you. So God, we welcome you now into this room and into our presence in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to share with you kind of just what we are learning. I always say around here one of our core values is teachability. So we're constantly learning. We're constantly taking things, you know, what God is teaching us, what we're learning from each other, what we're learning from other churches. But we love to share what we're learning with all of you and with anybody else that will listen, that will ask. So as ministry leaders, whether we're staff, how many of you are staff, like paid staff? Oh, a lot more today. Yeah, we had a lot of the volunteer. And how many are volunteer? Staff, somebody yesterday said, kind of both. We feel like that, or like, so whether you're staff, whether you're a volunteer, if you are the leader of a ministry, if you're leading in any way, one of your primary roles should definitely be building healthy teams, recruiting, getting people on the team, and equipping the saints really for the work of the ministry. So we've all heard that scripture, right? Whenever we think of building healthy teams, when we think of recruiting, all of that, we always think of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4:11-16. So I just actually like to read that whole passage of scripture. I was just telling her, I've spoken more this week than I really ever do, so I'm like running out of my words, I think.
We'll start making up words here tonight.
Oh yes, I did that as well. So if you catch any made up words, write it down. Anyway, so I'm going to read this because we have equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, but I just believe there's so much more that we can learn really from that scripture that we're going to talk about today. So it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, to the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it all builds itself up in love. So again, when we think of team building, we can think of recruiting, or we can even think of, you know, getting people on our teams to serve. It just is so much more biblically than that. It is really equipping people to use the gifts that God has given them. It's helping them to experience the fullness of Christ, because they're using those gifts, because they are becoming part of the body. They are being unified into the body when they join our team. So again, we can look at it, we can say, we just need people on our teams, we need to get, you know, and even we want them to be healthy. But when we actually pause and we say, okay, is it actually more about who they are? Is it more about them becoming all that they're created to be in Christ? Or is it just about us, you know, making sure that we can execute a weekend? So Rebecca has a lot of great stories and information to share, so I'm going to pass that off to you.
Awesome. My husband and I were talking on our drive down here just about why we're so passionate about having healthy teams and a healthy culture on our teams, and I was really sharing with him just when I was around 21 years old, I had walked away from the church for 3 years. I grew up in the church. I was a pastor's kid, but I grew up in an unhealthy church with unhealthy culture and unhealthy people, and I had been so hurt and so wounded by the church that I didn't want to have anything to do with it for several years. And so when I was 21, my family had moved into a different church, and they had taken over this church and really had begun to revitalize it. And I said, I'm going to walk in and I'm giving this one shot. But if somebody so much as looks at me the wrong way or they say something to me like, I'm out of here. And I knew I had resolved in my heart, like, I won't come back. I've been out of it for 3 years. Like, I won't come back. And I walked into this tiny little church and the door flung open. And I will never forget the woman. Her name was Marilyn. And she opened the door and she said, I'm so glad you're here. Let me show you our home. And, you know, welcome to our family. We've been praying for you. And that moment stuck with me so long because in that moment, it was like everything that I had thought about church was just stripped away right in that moment. And I don't remember a song that we sang that Sunday. I don't remember what the sermon was. I remember the face of the greeter that opened the door for me, that welcomed me in that day. And so this is going to be the case in all of our churches. Lost and broken and hurting, 21-year-olds are going to come walking through the doors of your church. And that we tell our dream team all the time, the sermon starts in the parking lot. Before they're even stepping foot into our church and the music's getting played or a message is being heard, they're going to be greeted by somebody in the parking lot, or somebody's going to walk them in, or somebody's going to hold a door open for them. And that's the moment that everything that they have had thought about church is going to be broken down, and their hearts are going to be softened, and they're going to be able to hear the message that day, and God's going to be able to speak to their heart. So that moment in my life was the catalyst for God to change my heart and bring me back into the family. And I was able to receive the words that were spoke that day, but it started with a woman who greeted me with the love and the grace of Jesus. And that's so important. And so my husband and I planted our church a little over 6 years ago. So in the first beginning days, if you're a church planter, how many church planters are in here? You started your church from the ground up. Come on, in the beginning, like you're the dream team, right? You and the few people that you grabbed and somehow agreed to start this church with you. That's your dream team. You set the culture of your church from day one. It starts with you as the leaders, and it starts with your staff, or whether you're all volunteer staff, it doesn't matter. You set the culture of your church. We tell our team all the time, like, you're the thermostat. Yeah. You are setting the tone and the temperature and the culture of what your church looks like. Other people don't get to do that. It starts with you. And so we've got to set that tone of whatever we want the culture of our church to look like. And so we're always, we slowly begin to empower other people, right, and give a little bit of ministry away. You know, the first couple of days or first couple of weeks and months of our church, it was like, all right, babe, you're parking today, and I'm first-time guest, and we got everybody else and kids. So it's like, you and me, we got this. And then you got to start empowering people, right? And you start raising up leaders, you start giving things away, but then you're constantly stepping in, and you're checking the culture, and you're checking the temperature of your team, and you're making sure that the culture is still what you want it to be. And so we really have navigated through three big thoughts of, like, setting a healthy culture on your dream team. And the first is that your dream team has to discover their purpose so that they can make a difference in people's lives. And we take this straight from Church of the Highlands. We do this through our growth track, and it's a four-week, four-step process. But that week is discover your purpose. And you have to know why you've been placed here on this earth, that we want to know God and that we want to make him known. We want to fall in love with God, and then we want that love to go out to other people. And so your dream team's got to know that they've got a purpose, that God placed them on this earth for a purpose, that they have giftings inside of them that are just waiting to be pulled out to be used so that other people can be led to the same place that they are. And so we realized as we went about 4 years of our church not having a process in place. It was just, hey, you want to serve? Come on, let's go. You're on the team and go. And we were just throwing people in place. And this will work for a certain amount of time. We had people that served, you know, they served because they were our friends and because they loved us, but they weren't necessarily great volunteers because they didn't know their purpose. And so they weren't empowering and equipping other people on their teams because they didn't know that their purpose was not to just serve because they loved Adam and Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Their purpose was to serve so that other people could know Jesus and we could take them to eternity with us. And so when you know your purpose, when your dream team realizes that they have a purpose to make God known, it is a driving force for them to want to lead with joy and with excellence. And then they want to grab as many people around them to jump on that team with them. So they're not serving out of an obligation. They're serving because it's a privilege to make Jesus known. Right. And that is how you build teams as well. So many people on our team, like, they don't think that they have gifts and talents. They don't think that they have something that is worth being used. And so you've got to pull that out of them. You've got to tell them, hey, that smile on your face, it matters and it makes a difference and it's going to welcome people. Those gifts, you know, you love teaching. Come on, you can teach children the word of God. You got to pull those gifts out of people and let them know, like, your purpose it's here and it matters and it can make a difference. And then the second thing is, we say on our team, everybody has a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a seat at the table. We strive to create this culture on our teams that it doesn't matter if you have a physical impairment. It doesn't matter if you have a mental delay. It doesn't matter if you are odd or you are different. I know some of you are thinking in your mind, oh, you do not know the people that are coming through the doors of my church. It doesn't matter the way you look. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. You have a seat at the table. We have to create safe places where people can come and all be used by God. Everybody's got something in them that can be used. Yeah. And we have seen this in action a lot in our church with several members of our dream team who have either a physical delay or a mental delay. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to share with you three people on our dream team. One is Lori. And Lori said, has told us that her previous church did not have a place to serve for her. I don't know what Lori's diagnosis is, but if you met her, she'd be the person you'd want to duck in the grocery store because she's just, she's going to talk your ear off and she's got a lot to say. But Lori told us, my church could not handle me before here. And so Lori came in, she went through the growth track, she discovered her purpose, she wanted to make a difference, and we've created a safe place for Lori to use that vibrant personality. We put her in the right seat, and Lori uses her smile to love people and to welcome them in. And I think of Vicky. Vicky is on a walker. She has a lot of chronic illnesses, so she can't stand for a long period of time. So we've got a place in the lobby where it is Vicky's spot, and you know that's where Vicky is going to back her little walker up. She's going to sit down. She has a sign to hold that says, welcome, we're so glad you're here, and she greets people. And people look, if she's not there, they know, where is she? Where is the woman sitting? She's not here today. Is she sick? Is she ill? What's going on? Vicky has found she has a purpose and she has a safe place to serve. And then I think of Michelle. Michelle's in a wheelchair. She was in a terrible motorcycle accident years ago, and when she started coming to our church, she was had just gotten fitted for a prosthetic leg, but decided it was not for her, and she was going to figure out this wheelchair thing. It would have been easy for us to say, like, oh, we just really don't have a spot for you. You can't wheel around the parking lot. You're going to kind of be in the way. No, Michelle wanted to serve coffee, so what are we going to do? We're going to make sure our kitchen is compatible for her to serve. So we're making sure things are low on the shelf so Michelle can reach it. We're making sure that she can fit in and out of certain areas because we know that Michelle has a purpose. She's got giftings inside of her that want to be used, so we're going to create that safe place for Michelle to serve. And really one thing that is huge for us is, like, we're not trying to be a cool church. We're not trying to have a certain look about us. And I think that that is an issue sometimes in churches today. It's like, well, they don't look the part. We can't put them by the door. They don't wear the right things. No, like, come on. We're just ordinary people that God wants to use in extraordinary ways. So you've got to create that culture in your church that everybody has a seat at the table no matter what they look like. And the last thing is that we want to remind our teams often of the why. We want to remind them of the why behind the what. So anybody can serve, anybody can do something, but why am I doing that? Because I want to know God and I want to make him known. We realized several years in, we had a ton of volunteers that could work hard. Our city is, we're on like the west side of our city, and the west side is like more, you're getting into kind of the country of our city, and we got a lot of hard working boys. They pull up in their pickup trucks, so they know how to work hard, but we got to show them why they're working hard. What is the why behind the what? Because it's not sustainable to have a volunteer that just knows how to work hard. You want them to know the why behind the what, that we are empowering and equipping people and that we're leading people to Jesus, and it's so, so important. So we've constantly got to be pouring out fresh vision to our dream team. There's so many ways you can do this. But as the leaders of a team, whether you lead a team, whether you're the lead pastor, that vision comes from you. And you've got to trickle it down into your team so that they know why they're serving. Mm-hmm. Share with them when. Say, hey, you held the door open on Sunday. Guess what? Three people gave their lives to Jesus on Sunday, and you held the door open for one of them. You parked that car. You helped that mom get in. You held that crying child so they could sit in service. Celebrate with your dream team. It's a big deal. When they know that what they're doing matters, that it's making an eternal impact, that it's not just about whoever's up there on the stage, that it's not just about the worship leader, but it's about what they've done, that they played a part in what God wanted to do. When you remind them of that, it's fresh vision, and it will fuel them to want to continue to serve week after week after week and be involved and be committed to the areas that they're serving in. And the last two things I just want to share, it's two just random thoughts, and I didn't even say this one yesterday, but we treat our serve teams like small groups. So not everybody is going to be able to be in a small group. Like, we know that's a reality. Not everybody can come out in the evening. You know, I don't know when you do your small groups, if you do them on Sunday or you do them in the middle of the week. we strive to create as many small groups as we can so that everybody has a place. But there's some people that it's just not physically possible for them to make it to a small group. So your serve team can also be your small group. And I've got two of my awesome staff members here, and they can attest to this. Our dream team serve groups, they have GroupMe's. I don't know if you use the app GroupMe. It's incredible. Download it. You can put a ton of people on it. And that's how they communicate with each other. Like, what's going on in your life? Put it in the GroupMe. Like, what's happening? They'll put little sign-up sheets where they're serving, and they get together for lunch, and they check on each other, and they love each other. So if I don't know what's going on in someone's life, all I got to do is go to their small group leader or their serve team leader. Mm-hmm. Hey, I haven't seen so-and-so in a few weeks. And they're like, yeah, I know. They've been sick. They've been out. They're doing this. They had a baby, whatever. Okay, cool. You know what's going on in their life. So treat those serve teams like small groups, and they'll want to serve together because they can't wait to get to church on Sunday to see their small group, to see their people that they're constantly serving with. And then the last thing is this healthy culture. I know I said this a little bit in the beginning. It has to start with us as leaders. If we don't have healthy culture on our staff level, and then healthy culture on our whatever your next level is, I don't know what your tiers are. We've got our staff, and then we have our leadership team, and then we have our team leaders. If you don't have the right people in those places and they're not walking in healthy culture, your dream team is going to be a mess, and then that culture is going to trickle down into your church. So if you've got a culture of hey, we just arrived late and we just do it half-heartedly, then that's what's going to trickle down into your church, and everybody's going to arrive late and they're never going to get connected. But if you've got a staff and team leads and a leadership team that they know we serve with joy, we serve with excellence, we serve with love, we serve with laughter, that's what's going to flow down and trickle in your team. So establish that with your staff, pour that into your leaders, and it'll filter down into your dream team, and that will be the culture of your church.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I talked
for
really long.
No, that was amazing. Thank you so much. That's so I just want to pick up where Rebecca left off, really, with the idea of these healthy teams, healthy leaders, healthy culture. That all does start with the leadership team and starts with us. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we have to look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. Are we healthy spiritually? Are we leading healthy? Are we caring for our soul? Or are we leading out of a deficit? Mm-hmm. What is inside of us is going to come out of us. When we recruit, when we build teams, we ultimately are going to reproduce ourselves. So what are we reproducing? Are we reproducing a healthy leader because I'm filled up, because I'm spending time with the Lord, because I'm refreshed, because I'm, self-aware? Or am I, leading out of chaos or being frantic or, just trying to get the job done? And that's the type of person I'm going to recruit or reproduce. And then it's going to trickle down to all of their teams. So being a healthy leader first is the key to having a healthy team. So we're not, reproducing unhealthy leaders. And what I always say is, if you start seeing unhealthy behaviors or something in your team, our gut reaction probably will be to look and go, what's wrong with them? Or why aren't they? But I would say first, let's look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let's look at ourselves. Are we treating them with care? Are we loving them? Are we guiding them, shepherding them? Yes. Or are we just, dumping on them and expecting that they're going to do what we expect them to do?
Sure.
So
that's
it always starts with us looking at ourselves. So, and then as ministry leaders, as I said earlier, our primary role should always be to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. We can get very busy being down in it, getting the work done, but we always say spend a whole lot more time working on your ministry than working in your ministry. And it's counter, intuitive, because you're like, man, Sunday's coming, right? We always say that Sunday's coming for us. We have Saturday's coming too. We can get in that grind of just getting the work done, but we have to be able to rise up, pull up, and say, okay, who am I investing in? Who am I spending time on? Who am I, after ourselves first, obviously, who am I discipling? And really, as the leader, so whether you're staff or whether you're, just the highest level volunteer in your ministry, you should be pouring yourself into the people that have the highest potential for spiritual leadership in your ministry. You can't lead everyone.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't lead everyone, and neither can we. So we have to have those few people, whether it's 3, 7, whatever is your leadership team, that you're pouring more time in. Yes, love everyone. Yes, have a big group meeting every once in a while and celebrate wins and do all that in a big group, but you should be meeting regularly with whoever your core leaders are, again, whatever your language is, so that you can put more time, more energy, more of you, your fresh vision into them. And we've actually... developed something called the Indicators of Potential for Spiritual Leadership. We'll make this available as a resource for you, but you kind of, you know, you could be walking around on a weekend or you're meeting with your teams and you're like, I just don't know who out of this whole group has the potential to be like, you know, a new up and coming coach or even staff member eventually.
Yeah.
So what are we looking for? Are we just looking for the person that has the most dynamic personality? Are we looking for the person that just shows up the most? Like, and that can be sometimes you're like, yeah, okay, they come every week. They're going to be the leader of this ministry, but they don't, you know, maybe they don't have that gift of leadership, that spiritual gift of leadership. So we've developed something to help all of our staff and all of our leaders actually, when you're looking for someone, and again, everybody has the potential. You never know what God is going to do in their heart, in their life. They may come out of the woodwork and you're like, wow, I never expected that. But at least it's something to go off of. And just a couple of things to look for is one of the big things is self-awareness. Are they self-aware? Mm-hmm. Are they willing to be mm-hmm. self-aware? Yeah. To know, you know, to have that gut check that we were talking about, like, I know, if, you know, something's not right. Do I need to reach out to my leader? You know, am I leading from a place of deficit? Like, do they know that or are they completely unaware of that? So that's a big thing for us mm-hmm. is self-awareness. Very teachable. They have to be teachable. Mm-hmm. If they're not willing to take correction from you, if they're not willing to learn and grow and be developed, if they come in and again they seem like a dynamic leader but they're like, I got all this. I always say I'm in kids ministry. The person that comes in and tells me that they were the kids ministry director of their last church, I'm always like, great, here you go, hold a baby for a little while, because the people that want to come in and they right away have all the answers, they know everything, right. You know that's sometimes, I mean, again, what God can do, what God is going to do, but sometimes, you know, for me, that's a little bit of a red flag when somebody just comes in with, you know, all of the answers versus somebody that's very teachable.
Yeah.
So that's a good indicator for us. Trustworthy, we said, the person that is, you know, showing up, somebody that is sold out for your core, we call them all core values or a vision or, you know, whatever the language is in your church. Somebody that is, you know, maybe not the best, but they are sold out mm-hmm. for the vision of your church, and they're going to be, you know, a cheerleader for your team. That's so important. Somebody that's self-propelled. Somebody that's seeking out opportunities, that's not waiting for you to always come to them, that's not always waiting for, you know, you to point out something that's wrong, or, you know, somebody that really is self-propelled in their own leadership, that's yeah. going to help you. So those are just a couple of indicators. We have a huge document, and we actually have it designed so it's like, here's all the indicators, and here's all the opposite. So, you know, like, if you see some of this, again, love them, have them on your team, but it's probably not the person that you want to meet every single week for coffee with and pour the most of your time and energy into, because they, I mean, it sounds crazy when we talk about people, but there is an ROI. There's a return on investment, and as leaders, you have to be able to invest in the people that are going to make the biggest impact in your ministry or in your church as a whole, versus, you know, somebody that's real fun and, you know, mm-hmm. does a great job. Like, that's, they should be meeting with their coach or whoever else that you're investing in, if that makes sense. So that's big for us. And then real practically for us, part of building the teams, those healthy teams, is really having a clear leadership pipeline, whatever that looks like for you. Did anybody go to the leadership pipeline pre-conference in here? A couple of people, so you heard a little bit about what that looks like. It's so important as a church you all define what that looks like for you guys, not just duplicating what you've seen. Maybe, you know, like you said, you use Church of Highlands, like we've used other models, but it has to be your language. It has to be who you are as a church. You don't want to put somebody for your church through somebody else's pipeline, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Defining what those steps are. So we have an empowerment track. It's very, very similar to the growth track. That's the first step. And as Rebecca said, that's our question we have everybody asking. Mm-hmm. When you meet somebody, have you been to our empowerment track? That is the first step. Because if you bypass that, they're not getting your core values. They're mm-hmm. not getting your vision. They're not getting the purest form of that. And now they're serving on a team and you don't know exactly what are they communicating to people in the foyer. What are they communicating in your student environment? Because they just haven't been, you know, taught and assimilated into your culture. So whatever those steps are for us, we have the empowerment track. And then ideally, people will jump into our freedom groups. It's our small group curriculum for freedom. And then again, that's just really infusing that culture. We know that people that come through there are more healthy leaders. They're more self-aware. So we there are positions and roles in our church that you actually can't have until you've been through certain steps in that leadership pipeline. There are, and I think I've talked about it a little bit later, but I'm jumping ahead. We want to make sure we are defining roles that people can come and be a part of very, very quickly. quickly. They want to, you know, somebody is a Rebecca that walks in at 21 years old and giving one shot. If you tell her, okay, we would love for you to serve, but 6 months, you know, you have to wait 6 months and we've got 12 classes you have to do and you have to jump through these hoops and you have, you know, you're going to lose somebody like that. And they're not going to be able to discover their gifts and they're not going to become empowered because that's just too hard for them. But of course, you wouldn't want to put the 21-year-old Rebecca as a, you know, teaching theology to, you know, your highest level leaders in your church or even a small group leader for, you know, teenagers because you have to get to know who she is. You have to make sure that she knows who she is, that she's healthy before jumping in that. So that makes sense. Like, it's really important to have entry points for everyone, but not everyone is designed to be in every role, and really clarifying what that leadership pipeline looks like so that you can walk somebody from the door all the way through to being potentially a small group leader or something like that. People will easily slip through the cracks. That's a big thing that we're really working on right now is even documenting that. I know in churches, you know, we're like, we just want to love everybody and everybody, you know, but you have to really actually have the systems to support that, especially as you continue to grow and you're reaching more people. Otherwise, you know, if you have one person that's just trying to get everybody on teams and you're not documenting it, you don't have that clear leadership pipeline, you don't have the steps to take, people will slip through the cracks. And then ultimately, we lose out on the people that God has sent to us to grow our teams and to impact our churches and impact the kingdom. But also, we fail them in a sense when we don't walk them through, you know, the steps to becoming the person that God has created them to be and using their gifts. Yeah. So, leadership pipeline. Another thing is the coaching structure. You touched on that a little bit for your church too, defining kind of what those roles are, who they report to. That's really big when you have teams and they don't know who do I go to? Who do I respond to about scheduling? Who do I ask when I, you know, bump into a problem? Who do I talk to when I, you know, ran into a mom in the hallway and they're, you know, asking questions that I don't know answers to? That's really important to have that coaching structure, but then also for the right people to be caring for all of the people on your serve teams is so huge because, again, you can't care for them. And I love what you said. You know, we can walk around and go, I haven't seen somebody, but you just don't know what's going on in everybody's lives. But if you have a coach that is caring for, say, eight people, they can do that. They can be part of their lives. They can know what's going on and really invest their time. And then best way to set those leaders that you're pouring into up for success. Oh, the leaders when we're having our leaders be part of the recruiting process. When we can't recruit everyone, we can't build the teams by ourselves. So we have to have our highest level leaders also bought into that process of recruiting and developing. Can't just be all on us. So we need to set them up for success. We need to make sure that they know who they're looking for, what they're looking for, what happens once they're on the team. Clear onboarding processes are so important, so that if somebody on your team is so excited about serving in the student ministry and they found two people that, you know, they've casted vision to and they want to get on their team, but then they don't know exactly where to filter them or how they get, you know, from point A to point B, we have to equip all of our leaders to be the ones that are also recruiting and developing and pushing that vision down and bringing people along in the process. One big thing that I always say is be the team that you would want to serve on. Spend a lot of time making sure that your team is someplace that you want to serve, someplace that you want your team members championing and cheerleading. And you know, nobody wants to join a sinking ship. So if it's like, oh man, we're just dying over here and we have nobody on the cafe team and we really just need you, it's like, no, like that doesn't sound like I want to be part of that team. But if you have your cafe team that even in the back of their mind, they know, like, it's just me and her. Like, we're you know, just trying to get by. But they're out there and they're like, we love it. We have so much fun and we pray together. We get together, you know, after for lunch. And this is the greatest team to serve on. And we know exactly how to recruit you and get you, you know, trained and onboarded. Like, that's the kind of team that somebody's going to go, like, I want to be part of that team. So make sure that you're working on your ministry so that the teams that you're recruiting for are the teams that you would actually want to serve on and be on. Create clear roles, clear job descriptions, expectations, down to time commitments that we want, what their expectation is for them, pre-showing up, you know, so in kids ministry, again, I was in kids ministry for a long time, so I refer to that a lot, but, you know, how do you prepare to serve on this on that Sunday? What am I supposed to do when I show up on that Sunday? What am I supposed to do during service? How do I, you know, finish out the service and clean up and prepare for the next service? Like, be very, very clear what you're asking of people up front, so there's no surprises. There's no, you know, they're very clear about what they're doing, and we want to set people up for success. People want to win. People want to feel like they know what they're doing. Yeah. They don't want to just come in and go, okay, somebody just asked me to show up here, and now I'm kind of just, you know, standing around the foyer. I don't feel like I have a purpose because nobody's explained that to me. Yeah. So that will help you get to that point of having those very clear expectations, clear job descriptions, clear roles. We will actually share a lot of that with you if you don't have some of that. At your churches, you can actually look. I mean, I honestly looked at what other churches had and kind of modeled it after that. Mm-hmm. But if you know, changing it into your language and making it exactly what you need for your roles, but we'll share a lot of that with you so to help you or even just get you started. And then the onboarding, yes, that is so important. That's what I was talking about before. If you don't have a clear onboarding system for each one of your ministries, so not just this is how you get involved in our church, that's more of your leadership pipeline, but an onboarding system for kids, for students, for worship, for, you know, all of, because they're all going to be different. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody that wants to serve on your worship ministry, hopefully they're not walking in as a Rebecca one week and then they're singing on your stage the next week. There should be a system to get them there. But you could have somebody that walks in, goes doing empowerment track and is doing, you know, a different role, but they should still have a clear onboarding system so that they know what is expected of them. And then, like I said, just empower your leaders like crazy to recruit, to develop, to feel like they're part of that process. And they're not just waiting for, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday too. Teams can fall in sometimes to like, we're just going to wait for people to fall out of either the sky or the growth track. You know, we're just going to wait for that process. Well, that we do get a lot of people out of the empowerment track, the growth track. That's great, but we can't just wait for that to happen. Mm-hmm. We can't just wait once a month when that's over and people are like, here, I'm ready to serve. Everybody has to be actively out there recruiting. We always say, if you've got, you know, 6 nursery workers, if each one of them invite their friend, one friend, to shadow with them regularly, like you could double, triple your ministries right away. But they have to feel like they're empowered themselves. They're not waiting for you to do all of the work. Like, they know what their purpose is. They know how to get people on the team. And they're excited about doing that. So empower them like crazy. And then the last thing I would say, and it sounds like a given, but just pray like crazy. Like, pray. Again, we can get into the, you know, the busyness and that we have to have people and just start, you know, grabbing people to be on teams or, you know, just bypassing, really just asking God, like, who is the right person? Like, specific prayers. Who is the right person for, you know, this team? Who is the right small group leader to oversee our Tuesday night women's Bible study? Like, who is the right person to come alongside her to be trained as the next person? Give us the spiritual eyes to actually see beyond what the obvious is, the most bubbly personality or the person that sticks out. Who is the quieter person that you have no idea what their gifts are? Only God can show you that. So really just praying regularly and getting your leaders praying for the same thing as well. When you have kind of your, you know, if you design your organizational chart and you know, and we track exactly, we look at our org chart, we're like, okay, we need 3 of these, we need 4 of these, you know, how many people? And then you sit and then you pray over it and say, okay, God, now show us. Show us who those mentors are for our high schoolers. Show us who those people are for the worship team. All of that is so important that we don't bypass that, because God will show you people that are just looking to get involved, but they don't know how. They're waiting for somebody to ask them because they're too shy or insecure or whatever that is. There was a woman at a church that I used to serve at that we did a kids program, and it was like a children's program with actors and all of that. So it was the kind of thing where you couldn't just grab anybody. You know, you needed somebody that actually had some talent, some skill. And so I was just praying. I'm like, okay, we need to fill these 2 roles. You're gonna have to show me, God, because I don't know who these people are. And God just dropped in my heart this one woman. She had kids in our kids ministry, so she would drop them off. And she was kind of quiet. I didn't know her at all. And I was like, you need to ask her. I'm like, okay, I don't know who she is. She's going to think I'm crazy. But I did. I stopped her in the hallway one time, and I said exactly that. I said, I've been praying, and God just really laid you on my heart. and, you know, explained what the ministry was. And I would love to add, like, is that something you would even be interested in? And she just started crying. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, I was always the drama nerd. And I never, you know, that was what I did in high school. And I was a nerdy girl. But I never thought that I'd be able to use my gift here in a church like that. Like, that was something that God, you know, gave me a talent for, but I never knew where I would use it. So thank you so much. So she joined the team, and really, we walked with her. She ended up having to separate from her husband. We walked through that with her, and it was just so beautiful because she was part of a team. She didn't have to do it alone, which if she hadn't, you know, been asked and been part of that team, who knows what would have happened during that time. And she ended up serving, I think, on the ministry for like 6 years before she moved. So God will show you. God will show you. Don't bypass that super important practical part of just really praying as a team, like we did, you know, just on stage, like, okay, God, show us who those people are. So is any of that helpful? Is any of that help you guys? So we would love to open it up for both of us to answer any questions that you might have. Healthy culture, any of that?
Yeah, I have one question. Well, two, but I'll ask those. So like, when somebody's coming in, you guys mentioned, like, you have empowerment or whatever. That's, like, how you get people involved in the church. So, say, for example, you have somebody coming to the church for the first time. They're still trying to, like, figure out, like, if they even want to be a part of your church or if they love Jesus or whatever. How do you gauge, like, when to get them into empowerment? Like, is it always, like, no matter what, the first time that you see them, you're getting them in there? Or is there kind of, like, a buffer for that?
Well, our week one of our growth track is all membership. It's, this is what we believe, this is who we are as a church, these are our, you know, our core values, we call them our heartbeats. All of that is in week one, so we really push them. If you don't attend any week, at least go to week one, and then you can take a break. You don't have to come back to step two, three, and four if you're not ready yet. Go to week one and pray through that and see, like, are we even the church for you? And if so, you know, that's when you can become a member. And you also would sign, like, our covenant of beliefs, like, this is what we believe, this is who we are. So you can't sign that if you've not said yes to Jesus yet in your life, or you don't, you know. And so if nobody, if they don't sign that covenant, then they're not ready to be onboarded onto a team quite yet at that point. So we've got some people that go through week one, and they're like, you know, we're still just not sure. One, I'm not sure if I believe in this yet, so I need a little bit of time, or I'm not sure if this is my church home yet. And then there's just a follow-up process with them. So if they go to week one, we're going to check in on them in a couple of weeks and say, you know, hey, do you have any questions about this? And often, if they've got questions, it's that's the point that they want to sit down with somebody. So whether it's sitting down with one of our staff members or a team leader or myself or whatever, and kind of answering whatever questions they have, and then just letting them know where your next step is, either to continue to come and decide what's for you, or if you're ready to go, then, you know, we'd love for you to go ahead and hop into week two of our growth track. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. That's right.
We same thing. We just made the switch actually not too long ago, where we do require everybody to go through the empowerment track first. Before it was kind of like, well, maybe they can, people just get lost and they end up not, you know, either they literally get lost or they end up, you know, never coming but circling back. So it is, we did make that switch to say, let's just get everybody through. So every one of our job descriptions and role descriptions actually says, like, something along the lines of, you know, in order to be on this team or something, and then, like, different bullet points, and the top one is always the empowerment track.
So I've had the fun privilege of building teams twice and then being called out, so, which is great. So the building part and the onboard echo and given everything you're saying, what are some practical things, you know, once you've got a functioning, healthy team, what are some things you do to maintain that team? Because I know it's a revolving door.
I mean, the vision thing is huge. Always just constantly cascading vision. One of the just very practical tools, you referred to GroupMe, and I know some of the teams do. We use something called Voxer. Are you guys familiar with Voxer? It's a you can record yourself, and a lot of our staff use Voxer to communicate to their coaches, and then their coaches down to their teams, and it just helps send maybe a 5-minute Voxer that casts vision every single week. So we're not just sending them, hey, here's a schedule request, come show up and serve. But they're actually getting, like, the heart through, you know, hearing an audio message from our staff or from their coaches, as well as some practical information. And then we do huddles before every single one of our services. All of our teams huddle individually. preferably with their coaches, but if we don't have a coach in place or if we need to with the staff members. But huddles are a huge, huge way for us, and we have a whole document of what huddles should look like. So wins, celebrating one or two wins, communicating some vision, and then setting them up for success for that weekend service. But that it, we use that as our, a part of our leadership development, honestly, is like, what's a little tip, one, you know, 2 minute tip or trick that we can communicate that week to develop them. And then we do have gatherings regularly, depends on the team and how often, but that's, you know, some training, some relationship building, recruiting is a good thing. So bring somebody along with you. We're going to have this, you know, gathering at so-and-so's house, and we're going to talk about three things that are going to help us be a better experienced team. Bring two people with you that might, you know, want to come and be part of the team. And then we do have regularly, like, larger gatherings where it's like a big, you know, three-hour thing. We don't do that, those as often, usually once to twice a year, because we don't, and it depends on the ministry, but we don't want to just, like, overload people with, like, we want you in a small group, and we want you to serve, and then we want you once a month to come here, and then it's like, oh my gosh, now you're, you know, full-time job. So that's how, that would be, like, kind of that maintenance. And then for us, with that teachability thing, we are constantly looking back, looking at our job descriptions, looking at our organizational charts. How are we actually getting better as a ministry so that everybody that comes on board is constantly, you know, almost raising the bar, upping, you know, the water level to keep our minute, to keep the culture, keep the vision, all of that. So
we utilize Zoom, and we got that from Next Level. You can buy a church like membership login. It's so cheap. I don't know. We pay like $20 a month for it, and you can have up to 30 something people for 4 hours, and they can talk on it. But it's online, and so our teams will use that. You know, in a month, like, hey, we're going to do a Zoom to go over some of our new policies and procedures because it's going to be hard to catch you guys on a Sunday. And then we're also going to pour vision into you, or we're going to hop on the Zoom and we're going to watch, you know, Pastor Matt is going to teach us through our Zoom. And we've done that. We've showed our teams the Known Love Challenge video that Pastor Matt does. It's incredible teaching. So we utilize that to connect with our teams, you know, maybe quarterly or whatever it is. All our teams are kind of different. And so they'll hop on there, and, you know, whoever the team leader, you know, whether it's Sarah, she oversees all of our babies to 4 years old, and she can hop on there and, you know, hey, you know, we're just going to share a little bit of vision. This is where we're going. This is what, you know, Easter's going to look like, whatever. And then I'm going to give you some updates on our policy, and then we're going to watch this teaching together. We're going to discuss this together. And so it's a good way to build community with each other, and they can do it. You know, it, we do a lot of them in the evening, like 8:30 at night. Hey, after everybody puts their kids to bed, we're going to hop on the Zoom. You get on whenever you're able to, because not everybody can get out all the time and come to, you know. We want our serve teams to be like small groups, but we can't, like she was saying, overload our people and say, well, you went to your small group on Thursday night. Well, then Friday night, you got to come to your team small group. And then next week, no, hey, we'll meet online for an hour and hop on when you can and hop off when you need to. But that will build that community of, you know, seeing each other and you being constantly able to pour fresh vision into them.
So what have you done to... I guess maybe if you have someone in a leadership role and you realize it wasn't the right role for them, or you feel like they're not the right fit, how do you
We call that a hard conversation.
How do you get good at confrontation?
Yeah, we call them hard conversations, and that's typically something that either a staff or a leadership team member would handle. So that's not something we would tell our... They call them coaches. We call them team leads.
Right.
We wouldn't ask our team lead to go tell somebody, hey, this isn't the seat on the bus for you. That's going to be a staff member that's going to step in. And it's just a face-to-face, like, hey, we love you. Tell me what you're feeling in this situation, because I don't feel like this is the right role for you. What are you feeling? Do you love it? Or you feel? And oftentimes they're going to be like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. Like, I really actually don't love serving kids, or I'm kind of hating being in the parking lot right now. And then it's an opportunity for us to pastor them and love them and say, and come to them with a solution already in mind. So, well, I've been thinking, I feel like you would really thrive over here in this role. And they might say, well, no, that sounds terrible. Okay, well, let's pray through this. Like, let's pray through what sounds good for you, because, you know, I've got some vision here for you, but if you're not ready for it, that's okay. Let's pray through and let's think through, like, is this the spot for you? Are you loving this? You know, we want you to thrive where you're serving, and I don't feel like you're thriving here right now. What are you feeling? Kind of put it on them so that they have an opportunity to share what's on their heart as well. But then it is an opportunity to pastor them. And if there comes a moment where you're like, no, but really this, like, isn't working, then it's just that, hey, I'm going to ask you to switch to a different position, and, you know, let me explain to you why. you know, that you're not the best fit for this, and you got to just pray through that, that the Holy Spirit gives you the right words to love them. And mm-hmm. sometimes they're not going to be able to accept it, and they're going to get their feelings hurt or frustrated, but it's a moment to pastor them and lead them. And if they're not showing teachability, then mm-hmm. they're not really a great a leader at that point anyway.
That's
so
good. Yeah, that's really good.
I know that sounds hardcore, but it's not said like so meanly like that, but it's an opportunity to pastor and to love them. She's laughing because she's like, she just had to do it. Like,
sorry,
you know, hey, I'm so sorry. This is not going to work.
Yeah, and we talked about this in the breakout yesterday too. The important thing to remember is, yes, it's the one person, and mm-hmm. we want to care for them, we want to love them, but yeah. if they are affecting the culture yes. of your entire yes. ministry, yes. or if they're, you know, you have to just be care for mm-hmm. the whole flock, you know, and make sure that it, you know, if you have to have that one hard conversation, you know that ultimately it's for the better of the entire team, because right. if you let this one person drag mm-hmm. down, you know, then everybody else will be affected by it yeah. as well. So, and I know for people that have, you know, hard conversations is yeah. difficult, that can be a challenge.
And we're seeing this happen on our teams now, that we've got some teams, I'm like, what is the deal with this team? Well, they don't have the right leader in place. Yeah. And so there's yeah. unhealth all across. So we're having to go through, I mean, team by team right now, and look and say, this isn't the right person, that's not the right person, this, and you might have been doing this for 3 years, mm-hmm. but like yeah. this is where we're going, and I don't know that you can take us there. And yeah. so we're doing a lot of shifting and a lot of adjusting, and it is painful and it is hard, but we're watching some leaders step up, mm-hmm. and then we're watching the people that we had the hard conversations with say, well, challenge me, like, let's do it, like, I'll step up, I'll accept it, I'll mm-hmm. you know, I'll allow God to work on my heart and move in me. So, but it's messy, it's sticky, and it's hard, but it's vital to see your team's, you know, be healthy.
That's good.
Yeah. I have something I just learned, and it was so exciting, and I don't want to, it's going to take a few minutes, but if anybody wants to stay after, it's about having difficult coaching conversations is what we call it. So if we can talk later on, it's helpful
good.
All the time. But
yeah.
It's really good. I wish I had a whiteboard because it's awesome. Yes.
How do you separate that line between everybody has a seat at the table to, hey, everybody has bold ideas and everybody has opinions, to actually stopping all those silence and mm-hmm. staying firm with the vision of the pastors?
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. So we need to give them a way to speak into things. So I think through our young babies, like, they have a little comment card in the room. So she doesn't need to run. Everybody in the hallway doesn't need to go run and tell her, I got this thought, so we should do this, we should do that. Write on the comment card, and then we're going to pray about it as a team and, you know, as a staff. And it doesn't need to be a sit-down 30-minute conversation for you to explain every idea that you have. Write it down. Let us know. We'll pray through it. We'll talk through it. If you don't see it happen, it's because God didn't give us the yes on it. And you go super spiritual on them and just say, like, we're going to pray through this. And if God doesn't tell us, because sometimes somebody is going to give you a suggestion that you're like, oh my gosh, I never would have thought of that. Like, that's brilliant. But I'd say 90% of the time, it's just going to be an idea that they hadn't even thought through, and they don't know the why behind what you're doing. Mm-hmm. They come back and challenge and want to have a conversation with you. Let me just explain to you the vision, the heart behind what we're doing. This is not a bad idea at all. But for right now, this is not really the vision. This isn't the way that we're going. But thank you. And we're going to file that away, and we're going to think through it. And if God gives us a yes, like, we'll let you know, and we'll tell you later. Thank you so much for your thought.
Yeah.
I mean, but we go super spiritual. Like, we're just gonna, you know, God's given us the vision, and if it doesn't align with the vision, then
yes.
that's not where we're going.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's really good.
Everybody's got an opinion about everything.
Yeah.
What are some of the models that you guys use for, I guess, like, seeing the growth or identifying growth in your leaders?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to let her answer this, because we're still evolving
yes.
in this, and we've not done a great job at it at all.
Yeah,
so.
And honestly, we are too. When mm-hmm. I said we're just learning, like, how to document things and all of that, like, one just practical, like, we've learned, you know, we have multiple locations. We'll have somebody walking with someone, and then they'll go to another location, and it's like, do we start from square one with them? So we're learning a lot about that. Yeah. The best way that we know how to do it right now is through our coaching structure. So we have a very clear spelled out what a coaching one-on-one looks like. So that when we empower somebody to meet with their team, they're not just like, hey, how's your kids doing? How was it? You know, was your Sunday good? Like, you know, let's go hang out. Because we did see that a little bit. It was like they wanted to be their buddies, and they were leading them, but it wasn't like producing the known, the loved, and the challenged. Mm-hmm. It was more the known than loved.
Yeah.
So the coaching document actually helps us to do that, because it has them ask, like, real questions,
yeah.
you know, about their spiritual growth, about
sure.
their family, about
mm-hmm.
how they're managing themselves, their time, their finances, like, all of that. so that you can kind of see, mm-hmm. is somebody growing, are they developing, or, you know, are they heading? One thing that we say here is, which way is your arrow pointing? We say, you know, you always want your arrow pointing towards Jesus, more like Jesus, not less like Jesus. And it actually is on that document that they have, so that the, you know, coach can look and go, okay, is their mm-hmm. arrow pointing in the right way?
Yeah.
Because spiritual growth and leadership growth, all that looks different for mm-hmm. everyone. It could take 5 years to get someone where, you know, you meet with someone for 5 months and all of a sudden they're like a high level leader. So we really do it that way. We're trying to get better at the documentation of that. We have something called Ascend, which is our the end of our leadership pipeline. It's the smallest group. It's about 30 people, and it's about, what is it, 11 months long? 10 or 11. It's almost a whole year long. And we really kind of guinea pigged it with that group of how do we check in and have like goals for each person. Now, of course, you have a whole dream team. You can't, you know, have that mm-hmm. for everyone. But if you are pouring into a select group of leaders, mm-hmm. you could be giving them goals, almost like at work when you have, you know, what are your quarterly goals? What are your 6 month goals? Mm-hmm. And then kind of tracking that through. Right now we're using Google Docs, so somebody would have a goal that we set. So if you're meeting with a leader and they're just struggling to spend time with God every day. Like, mm-hmm. that's a very basic thing. So you set a goal. Like, every single day, you're going to spend 15 minutes, you're going to use this soap guide or a devotional or whatever. I'm going to check in with you every other week, see how it's going, and then you kind of document that mm-hmm. so there's always something that you can be talking about.
We've got a leadership team that my husband and I, as the lead pastors, we don't pick a single person for that leadership team. Our staff does. So we ask our staff, not just who's volunteering great, who's on time, who can lead people? Mm-hmm. Who do you see on your team that is loving people, that's shepherding people, that's showing up on time, that's doing a great job? Who do you see that's just fallen in love with God? Mm-hmm. They pick those people from their serve teams, and then we invite them. They come once a month, and my husband and I pour leadership into them. We've hired every single one of our staff members from our leadership team because we're just pouring into them, and we're seeing who's rising up. We'll challenge them. So we've got about 3 people right now that our staff has given us names, like, hey, they're great. Like, I really feel like they're leading their team phenomenally. They're falling in love with God. We write their names down, and then we're challenging them with something. So I gave those 3 names to our small groups director, and I said, I want you to challenge them to lead a group, and then come back and let me know, did they say yes? You know, do they say no? Why do they say no? Is it because of schedule or whatever? And then how do they do through that? And so 2 out of the 3 said, absolutely, we'd love to lead a group. We've just been waiting for somebody to ask us, like, let's go. They lead this group, and they rock at it. Then, you know, we add them to the leadership team, and we continue to pour into them. And then we're really able to mostly hire from, or so far we've been able to hire from within that team as we pour into them. And now it's growing, and so now we're at the point where we're going to split that team. Mm-hmm. So we're now looking at, okay, in this leadership, who do we really see could even rise to that next level? And for us, it's about 10-ish people. Now my husband and I are going to start meeting with those 10 people. We're going to have them into our home. We're going to love them. We're going to pour into them. One of them we're hoping to hire in the next couple of months. So we're going to challenge them to, you know, bringing them to almost that staff level. Like, hey, we're going to ask you to be at extra stuff. We're going to ask you to show up early and stay late. We're going to challenge you, you know, as much as we possibly can and see if you rise to that. And some people won't be able to, and that's okay. Like, you know what their lid is, but some people have got a lid that they can just keep busting mm-hmm. through, and more potential and more potential. So
good. Time for one more. I'm gonna let you pick.
I think he's had his hand up a couple times. Yeah.
Actually, it was kind of a follow-up question, so you can grab somebody else.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Anyone? All right. You're the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. With your empowerment track, like, you had said that your first meeting is like, hey, this is who we are, mm-hmm. and it almost seems like it's a weed out, which is not a bad thing at all.
Sure.
And with ours, like, we've had problems where, you know, people come in after they've been attending our church for 6 months, they go through our first mm-hmm. couple sessions of our, we call it Discover New Hope, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, wow, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So how do we get people in faster, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, how do we get them to that point first? Because we don't want them to pour into our mm-hmm. church and then find out, you know, like, oh.
Yeah. So that responsibility lies on your staff, and for my husband and I, as the lead pastors, to constantly push that from the stage, the importance of hopping into our growth track. So if it's week one of the growth track, like, it's not just in the announcements, it's not just on a slide. My husband is saying it before he jumps into his sermon. Today is week one of the growth track. Let me tell you why this is so important. Raise your hand if you've gone through the growth track. Awesome. Like, great. We're so excited. You've discovered your purpose. you know, let me tell you why we want you to hop in. This is what week one looks like. You know, this is what we're going to teach you in there. Sign up, sign up, sign up. We've got 10 spots left right now. Like, please go. It starts now. And then at the end of the experience, I typically close out, you know, every service. And I'm like, all right, week one of the growth track. It starts in 30 minutes. Like, go, go, get to the room. So we have to be the ones as the leaders pushing the importance of hopping in the growth track. And then we also just encourage our staff and our team leads to get people on the growth track. Like, that's your first question. When you meet somebody on Sunday, it's, hi, I'm Rebecca. So nice to meet you. Have you gone through the growth track yet? Like, we want you to go through the growth track because we know it's so important, because we don't want you to come away 6 months here and not love our church and not know our heart. And then, you know, we do something that you're like, what in the world? Like, well, if you would have gone through the growth track, you would have known that we already believed that. And then you would have already left. And it helps kind of filter out too, just the massive amounts of emails and phone calls and meetings that people want. So when people grab me and say, hey, I would love to have coffee with you and your husband. I want to know about your church. That's great. I actually would love for you to go through the growth track. If you still have questions after that, then we'd love to grab you before or after an experience and, you know, answer any of your questions more. But the majority of the questions you have are going to all come through, you know, those weeks of the growth track. And then we're constantly tweaking the growth track as well. Yes.
We have snacks.
Yes.
We have really good snacks.
Snacks in a mini fridge with a clear front that shows all these amazing drinks. So people walk by and they're like, what's going on in that room? So we keep the door propped open. It's glass on both sides. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I want the cookies and the popcorn and the LaCroix. All right. You get that if you come to the growth track. And like, we are like serious about that. Like, you don't get to come in and get our drinks unless you go through the growth track.
That's good.
Yeah.
Just practically, do you have yours during service or is it after?
We have it during our
service. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say, if at all possible, not have them come to something else.
Sure. Yeah. Ours
do it during service.
During two of the
child care. Like, make it as easy as possible for people to go. And then one thing is we never call it a membership class because people don't want to think the first minute they walk in, they're like right away being reeled into something.
Yeah.
So, you know, eventually, yes, that essentially we know that that's what it is, but we never say come to our membership class or something like that because we do want to
membership 101. That's what it's called.
we want people to know, like, we just want you to know about our church. We want you to find your purpose, like all of that. It's more about you than it is about becoming part of us. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things, but I would say same thing. Like, we've trained everyone to say, any question that you have, prepare for drag, like the growth track. You know, that's how you'll find out about that. Make it super fun. So awesome. Well, let me pray us out, and then I think can you hang out for a few minutes? We'll hang out if you have any additional questions. So God, I thank you so much again. Thank you for everyone in here, and I pray, God, that something that we said, a question that was asked, even advice that was given here, would just be helpful to bring back to their churches, God, to just impact your kingdom. Father, I pray that there would not be any hesitation, any fear, any, oh, I can't do this, God, but we would just trust in you. We would know that that you have called us to build teams for your kingdom, and however we go about that in our churches, God, it's going to make an impact for you. So we love you, Father. We thank you.